is one of those months, isn't it? It's a remember kind of month, isn't it? We've got an important Sunday next week. It'll be Remembrance Sunday. So this is an advance notice that on Sunday next week, we will be starting bang on 11 o'clock with a minute's silence. I know that's difficult for us as a church, not the silence part, the getting here on time, all right? But we will be starting, so if you are a little bit late, don't feel awkward, just be quiet, all right? So we're going to make sure that we remember next week. And of course today, well, it's remember the 5th of November, gunpowder treason and plot, yeah? I see no reason why gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. For me, I'm happy with that because it's my wife's birthday, which means I don't forget. I know there are gentlemen out there wishing that that was the case, that you had one of those memorable dates so that you don't forget. Anybody ever forgotten their wife's birthday and not ashamed to put their hand up? You fibbers. I remember my dad, this is a true story, Kev will be able to testify to this. He pushed the car off the drive so that my mum couldn't hear him go and fetch a birthday card. That is a true story. So the very fact that I'm able to put shoes on by myself is remarkable. Because that is, in fact, the truth. So Bonfire Night, of course, is tonight. We've had all sorts of fireworks, I'm sure, and excitement over the weekend. But it's a day in the diary where we remember all that happened in 1605. And you might think to yourself, Matthew, why do we need to know about Guy Fawkes? And in truth, you don't. But all it's doing is leading me to where I'm going this morning, so don't panic, all right? All of the ones that are in primary school will know full well that it was 1605. They'll know that King James I was on the throne. They'll know that it was Guy Fawkes, and there are a few other people. But Guy Fawkes was remembered because why? He was guarding the gunpowder. Poor lad. You've got one job. Don't get caught. There were a number of barrels down under the Houses of Parliament of gunpowder, and he was there. But of course, somebody let everybody know that something bad was going to happen. And poor old Guy Fawkes, the unlucky guy, you're welcome. Oh, come on, honestly. He was in the wrong place in the wrong time. But he, of course, gets that name, doesn't he? He was the one that caused the issue. As far as we know, that's the only name that we are remember. We know that that's his name, even though there was a team that planned it. He gets the really bad end of the stick. But I think it's quite funny that we only seem to remember the one person that has the issue, not everybody else. If there's one name in particular, then we'll go with that one and they can take all of the blame. Take it all. You remember Thomas, one of the disciples? Yeah, you know him better as Doubting Thomas. But as we've looked over the past few weeks, even in our Bible studies, poor old Thomas wasn't the only one that doubted. They all did. All of them. But Thomas gets the name Doubting Thomas because we like to pick out an individual. Then, of course, there's Peter. You remember Peter? Poor old Peter denied the Lord three times, didn't he? But he wasn't the only one that ran away, was he? In fact, as we'll see in one of our passages this morning, in actual fact, they all ran away and they all fled as Jesus was arrested. But Peter got the name. And then, of course, there's one other. And his name is Judas. And he got the name traitor, did he not? And I have to say, he owns his name. But it wasn't just him who was doing the stuff that wasn't right. He wasn't the only one. Let's have a look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 1 through 6. It says, "Now the festival of unleavened bread called the Passover was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12, and Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again this morning just want to thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us through it this morning. Father, that our hearts, our ears, our minds might be open to what you've got to say. And Lord, again, we just thank you for this privilege that we have to be able to come together. And we're able to worship you. Father, we're able to look into your word together. And Lord, that's a privilege and a blessing that we shouldn't take for granted. So we ask, Lord God, that you would speak to us now. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, Judas's behaviour here is certainly not great. But he's not acting alone. In fact, as we read, we can see that the chief priests and the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, were in Judas's ear. And they've been at it for a while. As it says, as it records for us there, that they've been looking for a way to get rid of Jesus. And of course, the way for that to happen is to try and get into the inner circle. Those people that are trusted around Jesus. If we can just get into the inner circle, we can find a way to get rid of this man, Jesus. And it says in verse 4 and 5, and Judas went to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and discussed with them how they might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. They were delighted. In truth, as Judas went to them, and these chief priests, these chief teachers of the law, well, in truth, they should know better. So when Judas goes and says, look, I'm willing to turn Jesus over to you, they should have been shocked and appalled. Should they not? They should have been horrified that a human being would do that to another human being. Surely, as chief priests and teachers of the law, forgetting everything else, doing that to another human being is not the way forward. Surely. Yet it says that they were delighted. They were overjoyed, in essence, that this was about to take place. Now, the reality is that Judas had let his guard down, and he'd allowed the enemy into his heart and his mind. And church, I think that that is something that we shouldn't just brush over. We should be absolutely aware of that in our own lives, should we not? We should be completely and utterly aware that there are situations and circumstances in our own lives where we can let our guard down and allow the enemy in. And you might think this morning, Matt, I'd never do that. Peter said, I will never deny you, Christ. Never. I'll die for you. And he later would. But he denied the Lord Jesus three times. And we see all the way throughout Scripture that we, as human beings, we are flawed. And we have, as Christians, the Holy Spirit inside of us that draws us to the Word, that draws us to know and to understand that we have a God who loves us, that we have armour that we're able to put on to make sure that we're ready to fight the enemy, that we're ready to stand up in this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in as human beings on planet Earth. Yet, Judas here, just like us if we're not careful, can let our guard down and allow the enemy in. And if I was to ask the question, and I'm not doing, so don't put your hand up, but who is guilty of letting their guard down and allowing the enemy a foothold in their life? And then whether you think that's the case, that you've ever done that or not, in reality, I'm pretty certain that it would be a unanimous yes. That there are times when I let my guard down and I allow things that shouldn't be in my life into my life. And sometimes it's just the silly little things. You know, like the rude joke, the gossip, just the little things that can creep in. They're not big things, are they? But it doesn't take much, does it, to lead on. Maybe it's the extra drink that I didn't really need. Maybe it's the little bet on the side that nobody needs to know about. Maybe it's the coarse language, because everybody else does it. And if we're not careful, we let our guard down in the smallest of ways as we would see it. But the enemy gets a foothold, church. And we have to be so, so careful. Now, for us this morning, here on November the 5th in 2023, we have to ask ourselves, and you can only do this individually between you and the Lord, Lord, have I got my armour on? Have I got my guard up? Am I making sure, Lord, that I'm attentive? That I'm making sure that I'm aware what's going off around about me? Because how easy is it to take our eye off of the ball? And church, the Lord is blessing us greatly, amen? As a collective church body, but as individuals, there's spiritual growth, and we praise God for that. And it would be remiss of me, as the leader, one of the leaders of the church, to not say, look, we have to be on guard, amen? We have to be on guard to make sure that we are doing what the Lord wants us to do, that we have our armour on, that we're attentive, that we're awake to the situations and the circumstances around about us. And we're saying, Lord, am I dressed in the full armour, or am I missing something? You know, how easy is it for something to just creep in? And for that moment to be a situation that really is nothing becomes something. And we've all been in those situations. The moment is a nothing moment, but it becomes something because I don't take time to have a time out. And that moment that was absolutely just innocuous, there was nothing in it, has now become something because in actual fact, I'd allowed things to develop in the background of my mind, a whole different situation and circumstance. But you've said something this morning that's annoyed me, and you're going to get the grief that I've been dealing with over here, but not actually dealing with. And you're going to take the full brunt of it. And if we're not careful, church, just the silly little things can then become a big problem. I never meant any harm by it. I never meant to say it. I didn't mean to upset you. But in actual fact, we've not dealt with what's over here. So therefore, it's come out in this situation over here, which had nothing to do with anything at all. I'm just putting it on you because you were in the way and you're an easy target. You could hear a pin drop this morning. Isn't it funny sometimes, though, the word, we have to listen to what the Lord's saying to us so that we as a church, you know, we are ready. We have got the armour on. We are attentive. And we're saying, Lord, we are ready. We want to serve you wholeheartedly. And I want to make sure, Lord God, that I have got my armour on. You know, I wonder, as we look in these moments now, at this passage of how Judas is betraying Jesus, I wonder, as time went on throughout this situation, when the enemy thought he'd won. I wonder when the enemy had the moment where he thought, I've got this. You know, Guy Fawkes, he attempted to overthrow the king. He attempted to overthrow the Houses of Parliament, and there were religious reasons for all that was going off. But that's what they were trying to do. Him and his co-conspirators were trying to overthrow the king. Judas and his friends, well, they were trying to overthrow the King of Kings. They were trying desperately to get rid of, as the word says, Jesus. The King of Kings. In the beginning was the Word. You know the one? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. This is who they're trying to overthrow. The author of life. The God who put the stars into space. They're trying to overthrow the King of Kings. And I reckon that they thought they'd done it. I reckon they thought they'd won. Do you think when Guy Fawkes was down in the basement with 36 barrels of gunpowder, pacing up and down, hoping nobody comes down those stairs, do you think he thought, do you know what? We've got this. We've won. Mark chapter 14. And I did put this for Alistair, so we've got it to read. Mark chapter 14, verse 43. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Now, let me just hold there for a second. And Jesus goes on. I'll just go to the, just to verse 49. Every day, this is Jesus speaking, every day I was with you, said Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me. He says, every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. They come at Jesus with a group of people who are armed to the teeth. Yet only a few days ago, he was stood there right with them. Now I know that when I look at that, you think to yourself, well, they're trying to do it in the dark and out of the way of everybody else. Why? Well, because they might not be right. Their behaviour might not be okay. Now think of that in your own life. And they're the moments. Are they the moments for us when we go, well, nobody's about? It's quiet. I'm out of the way. Are they the moments for us? We don't always like a crowd, do we? Sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't. And we have to ask ourselves in those moments, am I ashamed of the behaviour that I'm doing? Would I do this in front of my friends and family? Would I do this in front of my church family and friends? Would I do this if Jesus was right there with me? And again, you could hear a pin drop. Because in reality, don't we know that he is with us? Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We have the promised Holy Spirit in our heart. How often do we take the Holy Spirit to places where he does not want to go? And to do things that he does not want to do. It's not like the Old Testament anymore, where the Holy Spirit's upon us, the Holy Spirit's within us. And there's a challenge there for us as the church, is there not? And then here, as Jesus is arrested and they come at him with clubs, and naturally, as those with Jesus, you want to fight. Well, if you're coming at me with clubs, then I'll draw my sword as well. One of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, poor old Malchus, do you remember him? Cutting off his ear. Because that's the reaction. But at this moment, and as the things start to pan out now, they're starting to think to themselves that we've done it. We finally got him right where we want him. We've got him right where we want him. How they thought they'd done it as Jesus was whipped and beaten. Perhaps they really thought that they'd done it when there was no trial even. That they just put him straight on display for everybody to choose between a murderer and a thief and Jesus. Oh, we'll take the murderer and the thief, please. Crucify the author of life. And he was condemned to death by crucifixion. And as he hung there on the cross, maybe they thought to themselves, now there's no getting out of it. Now he's actually on the cross. There's no way that he can possibly win. When Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? The enemy must have thought, I've cracked it. I have done it. He is finished. Maybe they thought when the temple curtain was torn in two that it was symbolically saying, I've got nothing left. Maybe when Jesus gave up his spirit, they all celebrated together as though we've done it. When the Roman soldier pierced Jesus' side, out flowed blood and water. And at that point, if you're on the wrong side, you're thinking, we've won. But the most incredible moment happens right there. Because Hebrews 9 and verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And I think in that moment, just that moment, that Satan went, uh-oh. What if the grave can't hold the author of life? What if Jesus needed to go to the cross? What if all this that I've orchestrated, he's been in control of? What if that blood is for all of those that will put their faith and their trust in him? What if? And church, the reality is for you and me that we can have victory over our sin because of this blood. Amen? We can have victory over this sin, over this life, because of what Jesus did on the cross. We can have victory because of all of what happened here was because God made a way where there was no way. It was impossible for you and me to come back into a relationship with him. We don't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. There is no physical way other than this moment here when the spear is pushed into Jesus' side and blood comes flowing out. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And Jesus here on the cross, once and for all, dealt with your sin. He dealt with my sin forever. And we have this joy this morning as barriers drawn us to think of that we have this joy this morning that I am his because of what he has done for me. Amen. I am his because of what he has done for me. I am more than a conqueror because of what Christ has done. And the enemy, he had no idea what was about to hit him on Sunday morning. Oh, when he thought he was winning. Matthew 28 and verse 6. The angels declared to the women, he is not here. He is risen just as he said. He said what? He's not here. He's risen just as he said. Well, I didn't remember him saying that, but now you've said it, I remember him saying it. Now I'm in a mess. Yes, you are. You are a defeated foe. And we are able to be here this morning because love has won. Amen. Because he has won. Because I have the victory through Christ Jesus. We have the victory through the cross. It's done with. It's finished. And the word tells us that my sins, my transgressions have been placed as far as the east is from the west. I don't want to go into tomorrow going, Lord, I want to make sure that I don't get it wrong. I want to go in tomorrow going saying, Lord, with you by my side, we're going to do this. Lord, with you in my heart, I'm going to take on tomorrow. Lord, with you at the very center of everything that I do, I will not be shaken by this world. I'm not going to be put off by the things that I've had in the past. It's done with. It's finished. Praise God for the cross. Amen. Amen. It's finished. So I go into tomorrow with the joy in my heart that says, Lord, you are in control. Lord, please make sure that I've got it here and here. Lord, help me to focus on you, to know, Lord God, that you are in control of my life. And for us, Lord, as a church, that you would continue to do what you're doing, that we would be awake and attentive with our armor on, ready to serve you. His body was broken. His blood was poured out. But church, he was raised back to life for you. So sin and death have been defeated in him and through him. We can have victory. And all we need to do is get onto the winning side. All we have to do is say, Lord, I am sorry for the failures in my life. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've done things wrong. And none of you are naive enough to think that you're not in that category of all. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Lord, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. Please come into my heart and change me. And it's as easy as that. It's the best decision you will ever make. He has done all of what I've talked about for you. Place your name in John 3:16. What a difference it makes. For God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son. That if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. That is what's available to you this morning. Love has won. Let's not forget. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your word, Father, for the blessing that we have in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we continue in our worship together, Lord, we just ask that you would just bless us. Father, that we would just be alert and awake to all that you've got on offer for us. Lord, all that you've done for us. And we just pray, Lord God, that you'll just continue to bless us. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us to have our eyes fixed on you, our hearts and our minds set on you. And Father, that we would make sure that we are ready. We have you in the center of our lives. We have our armor on. And we're ready, Lord God, to serve you wholeheartedly. Bless us, we pray. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.